everybody, and welcome back to Feminist Robot. I'm Rachel Baldwin, and please subscribe to my podcast as well as rate me on iTunes. This week, we will be talking about women in the media and how women are covered in the media. A lot of people say that there's been progress for women because this year we have a female presidential nominee, but a lot of people don't recognize the misogyny that our nominees still face because we haven't had any female predecessors to understand how to cover women. And so this week on the podcast, we have Will Hooverman here. Will, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, thanks for having me, Rachel.
Yeah.
My name is Will Hooverman. I'm a staff writer and journalist student here at UW-Madison and also study politics. I came to Rachel after listening to the pod and wanted to really talk about this because with the debate happening tomorrow now.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, it's going to be a mess. But I think it's a really important topic that has a lot of, you know, impact and relevance. So I'm happy to be on.
Yeah. So this week we're talking about media coverage, and Jennifer Lawless, the director of the Women in Politics Institute at American University, I thought had a really good quote when talking about gender in the media. She describes gender bias in the media as unintended, which I would have to disagree with, and I think that's a pretty big fucking cop-out, because as much as gender bias in the media may be unintended in the way that it's subconscious, it is very intentional in the way that people do it because they fucking hate women and don't want women to have more control over their own portrayals in the media. And so I would disagree with her. I think that was kind of a disappointing quote because I think that sexism is very intentional.
I mean, I agree completely. And like, that quote is just completely missing the mark because it's sort of like those people in the South when Jim Crow was going on and they were like, we weren't intending to be racist. Like, this is just kind of how we were raised. It doesn't make those behaviors any less racist. And by the same token, it doesn't make, you know, the way that Hillary has been covered and how women continue to be covered in the media, doesn't make that any less sexist, you know?
Right. It's just not inexcusable.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And so I think that Hillary Clinton is a great example of how women are constantly portrayed in negative ways in the media, because somehow, even in our wildest imagination, women are one-dimensional, because everybody views Hillary Clinton as just some fucking smiling cardboard cutout of a heartless bitch because she is somehow too cold and too impersonal to understand, but no one thinks that it's an issue that I think Donald Trump is pretty fucking unrelatable.
Honestly, and like, it's so important to remember that, like, it's such a feat for her not only to be the nominee, but to be the nominee after having a career in public service and devoting her life to public service and facing sexism every step of the way.
Yeah.
I think we've sort of been conditioned to view her in this light because of the way that she's been covered throughout her
Definitely.
Whole career as a senator, as Secretary of State, you know, with everything that happened under Bill Clinton. I think it's a product of a long, you know, decades-long problem. So, yeah, I completely agree.
Right. And, I mean, I read a really interesting article with Humans of New York where she talks about how she was and is so cold because she faces such, like, misogyny. She was talking about how people in her LSAT or, like, law exam were making fun of her and telling her that, like, she should, like, go back to the kitchen and, like, mm-hmm. get out of there. And she was like, well, what am I supposed to say? She doesn't want to negatively represent women by, like, talking back, but she also can't be that vulnerable and, like, let herself get hurt all the time.
Right, exactly. It's sort of like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're
exactly.
Hillary Clinton. There's no way that you can really win. So I'm just surfing on MediaMatters.org, which is, you know, a great, if you like, you know, studying media, it's a great place to kind of just cruise around. And so they have a hyperlinks to, like, you know, all the sexist coverage that's happened and sexist attacks that Hillary's been on the receiving end of. And there's like 12 hyperlinks, but two of them that are back to back are claims that Clinton's femininity is a problem. And then the next one is claims that Clinton is manly. And so there's just no way that she can win. It's
those things seem pretty mutually exclusive.
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the enigma of female politician, is that somehow you can't be a leader because you're too womanly, but you are not a very good woman because you're too manly, but you're still too womanly to be president. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Somehow, she's managed to get into this space where people describe her as a strong woman, and yet we believe that she can't manage to sit in a chair without a fucking pillow. That's, I mean, just general disbelief in the fact that people think she is not strong in the way that she, like, is hardly a functioning human. I think we can all agree that she is definitely a fully functioning human.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think so much of it is, like, we talk about double standards with Hillary and Trump, but I would argue that the standards that have been placed on her, like, transcend two dimensions. Like, she is, like, there's no way that she can win. This whole idea between having masculine traits and having feminine traits is something I find very interesting, that that's a part of the narrative. And I would argue the reason why I think Clinton is so effective, and a lot of the people closest to her have said this, is that she's so gifted at actually making policy, because she takes the time to actually listen to the people who have stake in a certain situation.
Right.
So yeah, she may not have that sort of stage presence that Obama had that was really electrifying, but like maybe...
Right, or even a penis. I mean, if she had his penis, I think she would be a super effective
She'd be a shoo-in. I mean, it's just so crazy to think about. If we had a white cis male with the same resume as Hillary Clinton...
Right.
We would be begging him to run for president.
Yeah.
And just sucking his dick for the whole election cycle. Like, it's...
We would let him do whatever he wants. If he wanted to send dick pics to whoever he wanted to, if Anthony Wieners was as qualified as Hillary Clinton, he would be president.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. No question. No question.
Yeah. I mean, back to media coverage. It's so difficult to know how to cover female politicians when we just don't have any. We don't have any other women to compare our media coverage of Hillary Clinton to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if we're fucking taking cues from other portrayals of women in the media, if we want to look at primetime TV, I would also agree that Hillary Clinton's pantsuits, as well as her marriage, are two of the most important things we could learn about her.
And you're right. And like, you know, I think in America, American journalism has gotten so... It's in so much financial trouble that I think a lot of broadcast news... We're not even going to talk about Fox. If we talk about Fox, we're going down... I mean, I'm sure we'll get there, but if we go down that rabbit hole, we're never coming out. But I think in a lot of ways, TV news has become a lot like tabloids.
Yeah.
In the same way, a lot of tabloids are like incredibly sexist, you know, like grabbing photos of women in bikinis or whatnot and using that to sell things.
Right.
I think that sexism has kind of permeated up into...
Right.
Broadcast news.
Right. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton was hot? There would be such a big issue on our hands. People would just be fucking objectifying her like it was their job. Think right. of all the loads of magazine covers that would just have bikini pics of Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? Was she even hot in the 90s? Like, I don't know. But if she was, we would know. We would have seen
right.
it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because there is no greater misogyny than just reducing women down to, like, their bodies.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that if we want to incur really intense hate on Hillary Clinton, whatever her body looks like, let's see some swimsuit pics. Do your worst, Fox News.
Yeah, I think that's something Fox could definitely tackle. I can see Sean Hannity is on the case right now.
He would have something to say about how it probably just made his dick go flaccid.
Yeah, he would say something like that, or, you know, Bill O'Reilly would come on, like, pissed drunk, and he would say some really sexist, racist things, and they would have a good laugh.
Maybe they'd say how they would rather see Chelsea on the cover.
Oh, they would definitely talk about Chelsea and Ivanka and the whole lot. I'm sure right. it would be a great good old boys club with Roger Ailes approved.
Yes! Yeah, I mean, it's just so difficult because... Women are just bad politicians because they're women, because either they're too manly and we turn them into bad women, or they're too womanly and they aren't a good enough politician.
Yeah, that's well said.
I don't know. Hillary Clinton is smart and confident, and she can hardly even be covered properly, like, in her gender. Nobody even knows how to talk about her properly as a politician.
I mean, it's just like we're focusing on like how much actual policy
right
discussion have we had? Instead,
yeah,
we're talking about, you know, what color pantsuit or like what outfit she wore to the DNC. It's just so fucking exhausting and so just frustrating as a consumer of news to just not, just, people aren't covering anything substantive when it comes to Hillary. Like, where's all of the discussion about her record as a politician? Where's all of, you know, like, helping women and children, like, throughout her entire life? It's just, like, I can't, honestly. It's just, I just get so frustrated when I think about how much we've just failed. How many times have you heard people talk about, like, her voice? Like, can we just talk about that for a second? Like,
yeah.
Hillary Clinton's voice. Like, I remember when she accepted the nomination, I think it was on MSNBC or on CNN, and I don't want to, you know, go on the record saying something that's wrong, but one of those main networks, and one of the pundits was like, you know, take a second to smile more. You should be smiling. Why is your voice so crass? Why is your voice not warmer?
Right.
And it's like, oh my God. This is like the most iconic moment for, you know, a presidential nominee in America. And that's what we're talking about. When did that ever become a thing? Like, when did Obama's voice ever get talked about? When do we ever talk about Trump's voice, which is, you know,
annoying,
incredibly
loud,
fucking
obnoxious.
Annoying.
Ugh. Only bad adjectives. I can only think of bad things to say about his voice. Just his voice, not even any other qualities of his.
Yeah.
I mean, women politicians turn out to be just a general anomaly. And the way that I like to think about it is that we view Hillary Clinton as someone whose outfit matters, but honestly, it's never cute enough to really be worth the coverage. I am really just surprised that her lady brain could campaign and get her this far in the election.
When I think about, like, this whole pneumonia thing, I watched, like, that Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis,
yeah, yep.
And he was, like, the little, like, lower third intro slide that they put up with Hillary was, like, Hillary Clinton, and then under that was, like,
had pneumonia.
And I was, like, that's just great. If I were Hillary Clinton, and I had to deal with all of the bullshit that's been, you know, thrown at her for the past 40, 60 years of her life, like, I would be fucking dead. If I came away with pneumonia, I would consider it, like, a huge win. And she, like, campaigns, she campaigns harder than anybody. Like, I read, like, some of her, like, advisors and campaign managers. They write about it and will go on talk shows and stuff. She is incredibly committed.
I'm not sure she sleeps.
No. It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
I feel like she's probably just coked up for the last 2 years, just trying to make it through the day and the night.
On the trail.
She will do anything to be president.
Even if it means flying through a kilo of cocaine
in
Iowa.
Yeah.
In Iowa to win the caucus.
It's just so ridiculous because why are we asking about this woman having pneumonia? Why are there so many conspiracies that she's either dying or has a body double? The other day I had to watch a 15-minute video about how someone believed that there was a second person that was on the campaign trail dressed up as Hillary Clinton. And they were the ones that were speaking. And the real Hillary Clinton just falls down the stairs and needs pillows to sit on chairs. Because she is like a weak, frail old woman. This is just silly. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Because Donald Trump looks like a lump of potatoes put inside of some sort of fucking skin sack that was dropped in Woodstain in the 80s. I literally can't confirm his humanity, and somehow there are no conspiracies or media coverage on that. Then there are people that have devoted time and money that believe that Hillary Clinton is a dying human that needs to sit on a pillow.
Yeah, I would love to see that headline. Daily Beast, an investigative journey. Is Donald Trump, in fact, a human? I don't think I would ever see it, but I would love to read that article.
I just can't believe that there's no one ever that has questioned his humanity or his health. Because just looking at his skin, there's no way that that is not melanoma.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, he eats, like... Okay, well, this is what we know about his diet. He have the, whatever it was, like, the chalupa. He was like, I love Hispanics. So we know he eats a lot of Hispanic food. And we know that he eats KFC because he sent the photo of him eating KFC. So I think he probably is one of those guys who has like super high sodium and like...
He has no arteries.
Yeah, right. You know, been eating at steakhouses for the past 40 years. I'm sure he's not in great shape, but he has this really shady doctor go and testify and like say that...
He's in the best shape. Of any human, the most subjective statements you've ever heard about just how fantastic he is.
Oh my god, it's the most absurd thing.
Genuinely nothing about his actual health. I mean,
fucking absurd.
What I'm looking for is affirmative action on the double standard. I want to talk about how annoying Donald Trump's voice is. I want to talk about how unhealthy he is, his marriage... Right. I would like to see him in a swimsuit more. It's just like, this is fucking ridiculous. Why are the things that we're ever talking about with any human, and like, why can't we convince people to stop talking about that or even stop being interested in it? Because if people stop being interested in it, the media will not keep covering it.
Yeah, right. It's like a chicken or the egg sort of thing. Like, are they responding to a sentiment within the public, or are they just kind of generating it because they think it's going to, like, help themselves? I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like, I think that gets at just how bad the sexism is, though, in the media. That gets so deeply entrenched across the board that to break from that norm is just, like, it's exactly that. It's just breaking the norm. Yeah. And so it goes to the heart of the problem. It's demoralizing. But I agree. I would love to see that sort of coverage. And, you know, like, the investigative, like, journalistic outlets that I respect have done a lot of great work, like, digging into Trump. But how many times have we have horrible people who are news pundits, and I say news pundits with air quotes, you know, they talk about like Hillary's marriage with Bill and like why we should be critical of that. Oh, she stayed with him after what happened with the scandal. How could you ever do that? Like, do you have any self-respect and all this stuff? Where are those people when, you know, we have this guy flying through wives and, like, having a proven track record of treating women and referring to women with blatant disrespect and misogyny? Like, where are the critical voices there?
Like, literally, let's ask his ex-wives if they're going to vote for him. Because I think that is, like, just the most telling aspect. Like...
You know, he probably, like, forced them to sign some sort of NDA, like, in their divorce settlement. Yeah, no,
they're definitely not allowed on the media. They were paid $5 million to never speak about their relationship or their thoughts on Donald Trump ever again.
But if they do decide to come around, I hear that Melania writes great speeches.
I wonder what Michelle Obama has to say for Melania this week.
I'm waiting on the press release.
I just can't believe that, like... Hillary Clinton is talked about as, like, a female novelty, and people ask me if I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she is a woman, when I'm like, no, she's the only person that has experience in the State Department.
Right.
Donald Trump has run a business. He has not run a country.
Right.
Or even been in the realm of politics, and, like, I don't know why that's not something we ever talk about. Like, why do people not ever talk about Donald Trump's experience, even in the business world? Like, how does it apply? Make him write a fucking cover letter, and instead of having a debate, they both need to write cover letters, and we'll see who we hire.
I would love to see that. You're right, though. Like, it's incredible, and this, I think, is one of the most frustrating things for me, is where are the journalists who are, like, pushing him on, like, you know, can you describe to me, like, how the United Nations works? Or, like...
No.
Give me, like, a brief rundown of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Just, like, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Describe to me, like, the difference between Shia and Sunni, or, like, he wouldn't have any fucking clue. Like, that's the thing. And that's what's so scary, and it's exactly what you said, Rachel. He has no idea about basic elements of the world order, and he's completely clueless, and where it's just so fucking... aggravating is when journalists will just let him off the hook, because he'll say things like, oh, you know, what they're doing in Israel, it's great. You know, Netanyahu, great leader, really taking care of business and making great deals. Like, you're not actually saying anything. Like,
no.
These, being president requires an actual understanding of things. And it's just,
But no one really cares what Donald Trump has to say, or quite frankly, what Hillary Clinton has to say, because we're really just concerned with much more trivial pursuits. But, I mean, It's so hard to be a woman running for office when so much of, like, how people decide to vote is through the media. And, like, women just have no control over their own coverage. Like, news happens to women. So news is not something that women get to curate. They don't get to decide what people say about them. And other women aren't even really representing Hillary Clinton. Because even though women are 40% of the news workforce, women are only 30% of news directors and curators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, if this is what female politicians have to look forward to, count me out. Because this has just been a fucking epic failure.
Completely. And, like, you know, I remember there was a time when she was, like, doing less press conferences. And I remember my first instinct as a journalist was like, oh, like, that's, like, kind of a problem for me. That's, oh, why aren't you being transparent with the media?
Right.
And then I took a step back and I tried to, like, put myself in her shoes.
Yeah.
If I were in her shoes, I would do the same fucking thing. Why would I invite you all to a presser to talk about my thoughts on foreign policy if you're going to ask me about emails and, like, meaning stuff that just has no place in the narrative? Why would I waste my time when I'm trying to win an election if you're just going to submit these stupid, like you said, trivial pursuits?
Yeah.
And it's just absurd. You're right. We were talking earlier, and you hit it on the head. If this is kind of like the trial run for how we are going to cover female politicians, which, you know, I hope that this trend continues and more females get prominent, you know, nominations. If this is how we do it, it's just a signal of how much progress we still have to make, because it's just a fucking failure. It's just a failure.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Do you have anything else to add?
Maybe just one thing that I would like to end on is there'll be debates going on during the season, obviously. And just listen to the way that the moderators moderate the debate. I did, like, a huge project on debate moderation, plugging it. And it's crazy. I can just tell you this is how it's going to go. They'll say, all right, Mr. Trump, like, why do you believe that you're qualified to be president? And then he'll say, like, a ton of bullshit buzzwords.
Right.
And then he'll move on. And then Clinton will get, like, some question about Benghazi or, like, emails. And then they'll be like, you have to look like this soldier in the eye and, like, tell, you know, like, it's just going to be, just watch. And, like, just watch and really be critical of the journalists. I also just think, as a last sort of point of reflection, if you look at the data, women do a better job legislating and governing than men do around the world.
I mean, like, for people that have been discouraged from, like, having unyielding opinions ever, like, right, women are just, like, so much more compromising.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was never taught to be that headstrong.
Yeah, right. If retribution was a thing, like, they shouldn't have to. You know, like, once they get into a position where they are making decisions like that, they spent their whole life playing by a different set of rules,
right,
and now they're creating the rules, but even then, they have, like, the decency and the, you know, level-headedness to rule and to really listen and govern in a way that God knows our world could use more of. But I think it's just something to keep in mind as we talk about this.
I agree. I mean, I think that women have been socialized to be much more open-minded, and if you're a second-class citizen, you appreciate other people's humanity a lot more and, like, put more thought and effort into, like, meeting other people halfway and understanding other people's point of views in a way that, like, unchecked privilege allows for rampant misogyny and just thoughtlessness and has, quite frankly, caused all the wars the world has ever fought.
Yes, bingo.
So
that's a nice optimistic way to end. I like that.
So on that note, I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. And Will, do you have anything to plug before we close it off?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, at @Will_Hooverman, and you can get a ton of snarky tweets about the election and about journalism and fun stuff. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Feminist Robot.